there's a plot for a book, that's for sure. 2010 may be coming to an end, but a whole new year of news and culture awaits in 2011, of course. And all week long, we're talking with big thinkers about what they're anticipating, from new movies to world events. Any big thinkers today? I don't know. Patrick Henry Bass is here. Wait a minute. I thought it was a big thinker.
Let's go real small here.
Today, our subject is books for the year ahead and books that were particularly satisfying in 2010. We're joined, as usual, by Patrick Henry Bass, senior editor for Essence Magazine. And Karen Holt is also here, former deputy editor of Publishers Weekly. She contributes book reviews to O, the Oprah magazine, and Essence. Karen, good morning to you.
Good morning.
And, Patrick, let's just begin right away. Was this a good book year, 2010?
Oh, absolutely. The Warmth of Other Suns, Isabel Wilkerson. I mean, just there's an embarrassment of riches in terms of prize season for next year, early next year. I was quite impressed with nonfiction. Not so much fiction, but I think that's going to change for 2011.
Not a fan of Freedom by Franzen?
Freedom stood alone. There was not a lot of company. You're going to see a lot of company, a lot of books in 2011. I think that was the headline of 2010 in terms of fiction. It was a political season, and most publishers don't release a lot of fiction during political seasons.
Karen Holt, a wrap-up of 2010 quickly before we move forward.
Well, Freedom was the big story, and it deserved to be. It's an astonishing book.
All right. So let's look ahead for 2011. And your first selection here from Patrick is Heatwave, The Life and Career of Ethel Waters by Donald Bogle.
Donald Bogle, who is a film historian about African-American culture. This is an exhaustive book about one of the greatest performers of the past century.
Let's
listen. Few people know about her.
Let's listen.
Don't know why there's no sun up in the sky, stormy weather, since my man and I ain't together.
Long before Lena Horne, there's Ethel Waters. Now, I'm old enough to remember Ethel Waters. But
well, we all are, because Ethel Waters lived to be about 80 years old. Born in 1896, she started her career as Sweet Mama String Bean, you know, queen of the hooch dance. She ended it singing with the Reverend Billy Graham Singers. And in between, what a career. First African-American woman to star on Broadway in an integrated cast. First black woman to star in a drama on Broadway. First black woman to host a national radio show. First black woman on a sitcom. Second black woman nominated for an Oscar. First black woman nominated for an Emmy Award. And largely forgotten.
So it's a great story of her character, but also a chapter in American entertainment history.
Absolutely. Ethel Waters would never think that she integrated show business, but she probably was one of the largest pioneers of civil rights as a public entertainer. Although she was not aggressively political, what a life. Her life, in so many ways, opened incredible doors for incredible talent that would come.
Heatwave. Look for that. The Life and Career of Ethel Waters by Donald Bogle. Karen, your first selection is The Long Goodbye, a memoir from Megan O'Rourke. What do you think?
This is just an astonishing book. It is so beautifully written, but also so raw and so poignant. This is a poet and critic, Megan O'Rourke, writing about her mother dying from cancer in 2009. A lot of this was published in Slate in 2009 as a series of columns. I think it's going to be this year's The Year of Magical Thinking.
You're comparing it to Joan Didion's...
Absolutely. In some ways, I think this is better. It's got such an intelligence, but also so much warmth and pain. I mean, if you can get through a page of this book without crying, I can't imagine getting through this book without crying.
All right, that's Karen Holt recommending The Long Goodbye, a memoir by Megan O'Rourke, which comes out this year. Patrick, your next selection is fiction.
Yes, Open City by Teju Cole. Teju Cole is a Nigerian writer, and we know the Nigerian writers from Chinua Achebe to Ben Okri to Chimamanda Adichie. You know, they have the goods.
Yeah. Nobel Prize winner.
Absolutely. Yeah. And he clearly delivers on that. This is a post-911 novel written by Teju. This is his debut, about a psychiatric student and a doctor who walks around the city. So it has echoes of Mrs. Dalloway. There's also some nice touches of Dave Eggers. But then it's wholly 100% Teju Cole, who has a phenomenal voice. I'm not sure if you read this one yet, Karen. But it's prodigious talent, beautiful language. Beautiful language.
All right, that's Open City, fiction from Teju Cole. A comparison to Dave Eggers, is that faint praise or is that good praise?
No, good praise. Good praise.
All right, Karen, your next selection is Moonwalking with Einstein. This is nonfiction. Explain.
Right. Right. Well, this reminds me a little bit of Malcolm Gladwell in that it's smart, it's accessible, and it's a real talker kind of book. It's the kind of book that you read about and then you want to tell your friends about it, and not just because of the writing, but because of the subject matter. He's a science journalist, and like most of us, spends a lot of time forgetting things.
And it's Joshua Foer, right?
That's correct.
Who's
that's
the
correct.
Brother of Jonathan Safran Foer? You know, I have to say, I'm very frustrated and sick of the talent in that family.
Well, it's absolutely disgusting, and this book will only make you feel worse.
The book is called "Moonwalking with Einstein: Nonfiction and Science Journalism" from Joshua Foer. Patrick, the Pale King. This is the David Foster Wallace.
This is the posthumous David Foster Wallace novel he struggled with. This was his attempt to take the subject of boredom and make it exciting. So what a challenge. So it takes place in an IRS center in Illinois. And from what we've read thus far, you know, there have been some excerpts of the book in The New Yorker. From what I've read, I've been moved by David Foster Wallace's work this time around, because what people always felt that his work was lacking was emotion. And there are definitely some emotional touchstones from the scenes and the excerpts that I've read thus far. His wife did the cover, and the book is going to be released on April 15th, tax day. So I don't know whether that's hopeful or even further depressing.
Well, but the context here, I mean, this is almost literally the book that killed him. So
that's,
I mean,
that's what we're hearing. Yes,
it's
you know, he left it in a pristine condition for his wife to find it. To release it, allegedly.
All right, that's Patrick Henry Bass talking about The Pale King, a novel by David Foster Wallace. Karen, this final book is intriguing to me. It sounds like an instant book. What's your next selection?
You're talking about Inside WikiLeaks?
Right.
Okay. It is an instant book, and I want to be clear, I'm not saying this is going to be the best read. I'm not even saying that it will necessarily be a good book, but it will get a tremendous amount of press.
And this is Inside WikiLeaks, my time with Julian Assange at the world's most dangerous website.
Right.
Now, how does this guy do a memoir, and who is the author here?
Well, he was Assange's number two.
Daniel Domscheit-Berg.
Yes. He was his number two. They had a falling out, and, you know, he's capitalizing on the association.
And it's so interesting. He signed a book deal to pay for WikiLeaks, which is having some problems with all the international attention. But Assange doesn't want to write about himself. Maybe this will be the only document that actually tells us details about Julian Assange's life, Karen.
Well, possibly, although it's kind of hard to imagine that Assange really won't want to give his own side of the story.
Well, we'll certainly get a sense of the ego of this mysterious character, Julian Assange. Karen Holt, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Former deputy editor of Publishers Weekly and book reviewer for O, the Oprah Magazine, and Essence. Looking forward to books in 2011. Patrick Henry Bass, anything else you want to say before we go?
The Lake by Banana Yoshimoto, which was published in 2005. The English translation is finally here. Look out. That's what I have to
and
say about
is there another Bolaño coming out this year?
There's E.L. Doctorow, for sure. E.L. Doctorow has a collection of short stories, and you just can't go wrong with Doctorow at all.
Yeah. Patrick Henry Bass, there's our reading assignment from you and to Karen Holt. Patrick Henry Bass, of course, senior editor for Essence Magazine. And have a happy new year, Patrick.
And you too, John.
Where are you going?
I just came back from Laurinburg, North Carolina, and brought the snow with me.
All right. Marianne, thanks for that. Marianne in Mount Vernon, New York, writes, my 2010 moment was inclusion in the first volume to anthologize the work of poets living and writing in Mount Vernon, Blood Beats in Four Square Miles. What was your 2010 milestone? Go to thetakeaway.org and tell us. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.